Millions of people have lost weight with personalized plans from Noom, like Evan, who can't stand salads and still lost 50 pounds.
Salads generally for most people are the easy button, right? For me, that wasn't an option. I never really was a salad guy. That's just not who I am. But Noom worked for me.
Get your personalized plan today at Noom.com. Real Noom user compensated to provide their story. In 4 weeks, the typical Noom user can expect to lose 1 to 2 pounds per week. Individual results may vary.
Hi, I'm Daniel, founder of Pretty Litter. Did you know cats tend to hide symptoms of sickness and pain? I learned this the hard way after losing my cat, Gingy. So I created Pretty Litter, a health monitoring litter that helps detect early signs of illness by changing colors, saving you money and potentially your cat's life. Pretty Litter is veterinarian developed, and it's the easiest way to keep tabs on your fur baby's health right at home.
Go to prettylitter.com and use code ACAST for 20% off your first order and a free cat toy. Terms and conditions apply. See site for details.
Support WrestleTalk!
Give us a subscribe.
Hey everybody, I'm John Cena.
Hey, it's professional wrestler Colt Boom Boom Cabana.
Hey, I'm Double J, Jeff Jarrett.
This is Rich Swann.
Matt Riddle, the King of Rose.
Support WrestleTalk.
Support WrestleTalk.
Support WrestleTalk. Do it, bro.
Support Ollie. Support Luke. Support WrestleTalk.
Support WrestleTalk. Home of Luke Owen. Whatever WrestleTalk is and whoever Luke Owen is. Quote the Raven. Nevermore.
WrestleTalk. Rumble. Now
hello and welcome to the WrestleTalk podcast. I am Mr. Davis and I'm joined by my arch nemesis as always, Lukewarm Luke Owen.
Hello, Swaff Nation, and a hello to you, Oliver Davis, you big dickhead. How the devil are you?
I'm okay. I'm refreshed. I went to York for the weekend and I don't feel back in the work swing of things yet.
Obviously, mortal enemy can't stand to even, like, just I can't even look at you in the face.
I hate
right
it.
Now. I hate you so much. But happy anniversary, mate.
Cheers. That's what we went there for. 7 years.
Oh,
typically
that's a good
the time
run,
when people get itchy.
Mm-hmm. Have you got that 7 year itch yet?
No, if anything, I'm getting more comfortable, more lax.
As when I was at your house not too long ago, dropping off equipment and whatnot, we had some lunch together and then you just got comfy with your partner and just sort of like just started. We were having a very lovely conversation and you were just sort of like slowly just like inching further and further down into like a snuggle position.
Is this an HR thing? Is the boss of a company not allowed to snuggle his lady partner in a meeting?
No.
What's the world coming to?
I thought it was very lovely, really. I thought it warmed my heart a little bit. But anyway, we've got to get into the show itself because it's draft day, people. The second day of the draft. And hey, Titus O'Neil was picked above Andrade. So there's a lot to talk about. Here is the show.
A major retribution follow-up angle to Ali announcing himself as the leader last week was advertised multiple times by WWE, by Ali himself, by all the other members of Retribution, not Mercedes Martinez, but on last night's Raw, it was nowhere to be found. You'd think that would be quite important, wouldn't you? The first explanation promo, we were robbed of Ali telling us, You people. You people did this to me somehow. Instead, we got nothing. We got a video package. We got them being drafted to Raw because why would any authority figure or network or brand want an act that actively tries to destroy the broadcast?
Dude, they've got contracts. They have to be drafted. They have to be part of the draft. They've got WWE contracts now.
What contract is that?
It's a contract, Ollie Davis, that allows them to do whatever they want, whenever they want.
Surely there's not a clause in there that also says, and a main roster brand must also draft you. Because where's that in Andrade's clause? Where's that in Shorty G's contract too?
Shorty G went to SmackDown.
Oh, I don't care. I've lost
they announced
track.
That on like they announced that on like the bump or something. The Shorty G's gone, like he's staying on SmackDown. I think not Renee announced it. Andrade is probably going to NXT. Hey, dude, Mojo Rawley was not part of this draft. Like he wasn't even pre-announced. He wasn't part of it. Neither was Bo Dallas, who is still employed, by the way.
Well, at least we know where Titus O'Neil's going. I know a lot of people were concerned about how he would play out after the draft. But, you know, Retribution. Oh, was Billie Kay drafted?
Billie, she was drafted to SmackDown. She is now away from Peyton Royce.
Here is Luke, the comment section's Google for this video. If you've got any questions, don't bother with Google. Super chat them in, but don't give them a yes, please.
Give me a yes, please.
So one of the multiple things to dive into here with this Retribution stuff. We were meant to get Ali's explanation promo, the reason why he joined Retribution or revealed himself as the leader. I'm not that interested in the why. What I'm more interested in is how they're going to retroactively book the last couple of months of how Ali was running stuff behind the scenes. But we didn't get that.
No, absolutely. We didn't get any of that whatsoever. I'll be honest, I actually forgot that there was going to be this Retribution angle where they were going to have the explanation as to why Ali did it, because they didn't plug it at the top of the show. So therefore, like, it just did not get mentioned at all. Like you said, they got a video package. I totally forgot they got a video package, to be honest. I think because they got the recap, didn't they, of just like what happened last week. Mm. So I, along with Mercedes Martinez no longer being part of the group, we can... I guess presume she's also been drafted to NXT because she has a WWE contract. She was part of that original angle where they got their WWE contracts, but she's now no longer part of the group because the graphic came up and it was just Slapjaw T. It's not Slapjaw, is it? What's his name?
Slapjack.
Sorry, Slapjack. How could I forget? Slapjack, T-Bar, and Mace, and whichever one Mia Yim is.
Oh, there's Retaliation, I think, was Mercedes. So, yeah, Reckoning.
Reckoning. Mm-hmm. And Mustafa Ali, who now seems majorly out of place with his regular name. They're now, that's the angle Retribution. So, well, that's the team. So, Mercedes Martinez gone from the group.
Yeah. Just if anyone thinks that, oh, no, wait, WWE do have long-term plans for this faction, they... likely only just decided Ali was the leader. They definitely only just decided Mercedes Martinez wasn't a part of it because she was in the graphics that Fox reported on last Thursday about her being in the Retribution pick. Like her name was listed within the brackets there. And yeah,
100% they have not, there's no long-term thought behind this. I would wager that the decision for Ali to be the leader was the afternoon. Last Monday afternoon was when that decision was made. Had to have been.
And also here, you know, to sort of what this really confirmed to me is how mid-card WWE see this act. I said this last week to great length. Ali revealed himself as the leader in the segment before the main event. You know, if you really put faith in them, that would happen in the main event cliffhanger angle, as opposed to yet another Drew McIntyre, Randy Orton installment. And you'd also have them enter a more high profile feud rather than this Hurt Business vortex that people keep getting stuck in. I love them, but they do just face off against the same people over and over again. Now here, the sort of recap package of what happened last week ahead of the match between Ricochet and Cedric Alexander, which I enjoyed it for the time they were given, there was really no mention of Retribution.
Nope, absolutely not. They're an afterthought at this point.
And that's just so damning to me to hear that. And surely like the big thing here is MVP versus Ali. And with their Hurt Business and Retribution factions to second them. maybe there's some, you know, a lot of people have been missing for periods recently for other reasons. Maybe that's behind it. Retribution are a large group. They've already had to self-isolate for 2 weeks after the NXT positive case down there, that outbreak. So I don't know if that's a part of it. Maybe WWE's hand was forced to take this explanation angle out. But it was such a big interest driver from everyone last week. But me and you didn't really get on board with it. But you can't deny that was the major talking point, the major storyline development in this months-long angle. And there was nothing here to further it.
No, and there was time that you could have done this. Like, I don't think you needed that New Day Rude Ziggler match, really. Like, you know, it did nothing for either team. You could have had the Retribution angle in there to further this and kind of move it along and feel like, you know, give it a reason. Maybe explain how they got these contracts. Maybe explain why they got these clauses. Explain why they're part of the draft. Explain why Ali is the leader and they're doing what they're doing. But then they're not. I don't know if we'll get it next week. But like, if they announce in the week that they might do, I don't know why I would believe that it will happen. It's just, I don't think they've ever treated this group seriously from day dot. Like, it was a panic move that they were getting bad ratings for Raw. So they were like, oh, Smeg, what are we going to do? A group is invading on Twitter. Like, that is it. A group is invading. And then they were like, cool, now we need to work out what that is. And I think that that has been the case since day one, that they have just not known what they're doing with this. Excuse me, didn't know who was going to be in the group, didn't know who the leader was, didn't know their motivation, didn't know the end point. They were just there. And that's why you get this big announcement that they're going to be doing, you know, here is the reasoning. And they just cut it from the show. It got Raw undergrounded.
Well, yeah, that's both of those things came in at the same time, didn't they? Raw Underground and Retribution. It was that same episode. And a couple of months later, that was at the start of August. Neither are about. I've just mentioned
3 weeks of no Raw Underground.
Oh, it's been nice.
It's been lovely, hasn't it?
So nice. You mentioned Twitter there. Retribution's Twitter game is strong. We can't deny that. But a strong Twitter game does not make a engaging WWE Raw or SmackDown presence. Ali did try and explain why he wasn't on the show by tweeting, "Truth awaits no one but me." And then a black and white picture of him with his eyes crossed out and some tape across his mouth.
No idea, mate. No idea.
I think what he's saying is, well, I'll explain things on my time because I'm a heel and I'm getting heel heat. In which case, just say that on the show.
Yeah, absolutely. Just be like, you want me to explain my actions? I don't know. I don't know you people. I don't know you anything.
Exactly, yeah. You'll have to wait, just like I waited for years and years and years to get my shot at what should be given to me. You know, there's so many ways to go. And WWE do that all the time. It's quite lazy writing, to be honest. Me and Luke just wrote the whole segment for you just by doing copy and paste templates. So, yeah, the fact that it wasn't on the show, not even a video package, says to me that it's been pulled and they don't have any plans whatsoever.
Hey, I'm Ryan Reynolds. At Mint Mobile, we like to do the opposite of what Big Wireless does. They charge you a lot, we charge you a little. So naturally, when they announced they'd be raising their prices due to inflation, we decided to deflate our prices due to not hating you. That's right. We're cutting the price of Mint Unlimited from $30 a month to just $15 a month. Give it a try at mintmobile.com/switch.
$45 up front for 3 months plus taxes and fees. Promo rate for new customers for limited time. Unlimited more than 40 gigabytes per month slows. Full terms at mintmobile.com.
Tired of ads intruding into your favorite comedy podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Dive into a world of laughs by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/comedyadfree. That's amazon.com/comedyadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
Hi, I'm Daniel, founder of Pretty Litter. Cats and cat owners deserve better than any old-fashioned litter. That's why I teamed up with scientists and veterinarians to create Pretty Litter. Its innovative crystal formula has superior odor control and weighs up to 80% less than clay litter. Pretty Litter even monitors health by changing colors to help detect early signs of potential illness. It's the world's smartest kitty litter.
Go to prettylitter.com and use code ACAST for 20% off your first order and a free cat toy. Terms and conditions apply. See site for details.
Need new glasses or want a fresh new style? Warby Parker has you covered. Glasses start at just $95, including anti-reflective, scratch-resistant prescription lenses that block 100% of UV rays. Every frame's designed in-house, with a huge selection of styles for every face shape. And with Warby Parker's free home try-on program, you can order 5 pairs to try at home for free. Shipping is free both ways, too. Go to warbyparker.com/covered to try 5 pairs of frames at home for free. WarbyParker.com/covered.
Do you like board games? Then you'll love Phenomenerds, a channel all about the best board games your money can buy. Do you not like board games? Then you'll love Phenomenerds, a channel all about why you're f***ing wrong. If the only game you've played is Monopoly, a bad game, with your family, a bad family, we're here to show you all the good times you and your friends are missing out on. We'll teach you the different types of board games out there, great ones to start your collection, how to host games, gaming night, how to teach your friends rules. We'll have deep dives into classic games, crazy stories from board gaming history, drunk board gaming, and so much more. At Phenomenerds, we consider it our sacred duty to get you into the greatest hobby in the world, no matter what level you currently are. So subscribe to Phenomenerds now and get on board.
Well, before we get on with our super chats and all your guys' thoughts, last call for the super chats. Get them all in. We'll answer every single one of them. We've got our Patreons to thank. Of course, if you go over to Patreon, you get loads of exclusive podcasts, content, shout-outs, exclusive T-shirts, and more. So head over to WrestleTalk's Patreon page to get yours, like these mofos right here, the monster among Patreons, Brian Strowman.
The Tower of London, Nigel Morris.
Ooh. Nice. Probocop.
Yeah. He's the future of law enforcement. The real boss, Matt Robinson.
Thank you, Matt. Jam that, James Dillon.
Nice. I like it. The Joker, David Heath.
Ooh. Always leave the crowd wanting Brian Moore.
And I always want Brian Moore. Always want Brian Moore. The Vision, Adonis.
Oh, thank what a vision. You. Black and Decker, Dane.
Oh, mate, cheers, I'm moving Dane. Into a new house. I need to get myself a Black and Decker if I go a proper man. They drew first blood, not me. Grace Rambo.
Thank you, Grace. Full of flavor, Sean Blanford.
Oh, like a prawn cocktail crisp. And lastly, Super Kick Party, Andy Buckley.
Thank you, everybody there. Let's see what you guys think on the super chats. Get in all of your super chats because we will answer every single one of them before the end of this show. First up from Martin Carrillo. Hello, Ollie and Luke. SmackDown roster is weak, in my opinion.
I have just finished writing and recording a list video that we're going to release tomorrow, which is like the draft changes ranked, you know, sort of like going through and sort of like ranking them in the, you know, from best to worst in a way. And bloody hell, SmackDown was gutted in this draft. Like, excuse that car that's just gone past my house. I've actually noticed today as well, because we're doing this at 3 p.m., you know, we do these live streams. I had to get into costume and carry this championship around when like all the schools come out. So all of a sudden, it's just like, you know, I'm wearing this vest, I'm carrying this title. And I was like, if anyone looks in the window, I'm going to look like a right old weirdo. Anyway, that's by the by. What was I talking about? Oh, the list. Yeah, Raw got loads of really good people. SmackDown got absolutely gutted. They don't have any top stars left, and Raw has now got like an abundance of stars, which is good. Good for them, I suppose.
It's a three-hour show. Maybe that's what happens when you get three picks to the other brands too. Alpaca Nation, 87. Do you think they have an actual plan for retribution, or are they just throwing darts blindfolded until they phase them out?
Here is my prediction for that. They're going to have a match at Survivor Series, and then we'll never hear from them again.
That's my prediction. They lose to the Hurt Business, and then they just evaporate over the course of a month. You'll probably get a tag, like they'll be infighting. One will just disappear. Dio Madden will just disappear.
Gone.
Mia Yim will just suddenly start appearing in the women's division as a singles star. Repackaged.
As Mia Yim.
Yeah. She won't have any of the retaliation name stuff. And then you'll have a feud between Ali and Dijakovic. And Ali will get squashed. And then that will all be done before the end of the year.
Yeah.
And they'll all have like a weird, awkward stare-off spot in the Rumble. And then all get eliminated at the same time. Just a few on Raw in general. Bacon Rasher. Hi, lads. I saw Raw for a change. And wow, WWE stands for Was Wrestling Entertainment. Like it was. It used to be good. In-ring, okay. I agree. I thought the in-ring stuff was good. Fiend Bliss was decent. Draft was daft. Were Retribution not allowed to cause chaos? Hashtag Andy's JTJ. Hashtag Quizzlemania tag titles.
Oh, that's right indeed. Yeah, if you didn't see our blockbuster announcement yesterday, Ollie and I are going to have to put aside our differences. How will they coexist on Quizzlemania 2000 as we defend the Quizzlemania tag titles against Gallows and Anderson, the good brothers of Impact Wrestling, of Talking Chopper Mania 2. We're defending the tag titles against the good brothers. Davis, we need to come together to retain those belts.
It's the only gold I've got left. I hate you, Luke Owen. But God damn it, I respect you. And we will... We'll beat Gallows and Anderson together. Gorilla Press, Lars is gold. My professional opinion, not a personal opinion, on his awful behavior.
Awful behavior of that man. Also, not fussed by him. I'm glad he's on SmackDown. Don't have to review that show. That's Pete's problem.
He's very physically impressive. You can't deny that. Nate S, second week in a row not watching Raw and just letting you recap. This seems to be the correct way to live. LOL. Yes, please. Good luck versus the Good Brothers. Don't get rowdy.
Get rowdy for the Good Brothers. Getting rowdy for the Good Brothers.
Unpaved, was Keith Lee even on the show?
He was in a video package with Braun Strowman.
He was a draft pick. Stephanie McMahon said his name is getting the rub. That was a bit of the rub. And finally for now, Angel Perez, tag team triple threat match. Jeff Hardy literally experienced emotions of what? But also laughing. That was very funny. But it also was kind of sad.
Yeah, bless him. Bless him.
Right, before we get in with the full play-by-play review of this episode of Raw, we made an announcement last night on national UK radio on TalkSport. And that is, next Tuesday, Alex McCarthy will start Wrestling Daily on Wrestle 2. Of course, right now you're watching us on Wrestle Talk. That's where you get your Wrestle Talk news, your live stream reviews, your lists, your predictions, your live reactions. But Wrestle 2 is just as good. It's got Screen Grapple, which just returned the other day. It's got Brian's recap for the week. It's got clip versions of all these shows. And starting from next Tuesday, from Tuesday to Friday, every day, Wrestling Daily. And we are joined by Alex McCarthy's co-host, Nugget.
Hey, look at him. It's the guy from... It's the guy from the Get Rowdy thing.
I will always regret submitting that as a potential thumbnail. I don't know what I was thinking.
Have we told the story? Have we told the story behind that photo on this show?
we have sort of, we talked about how it was very, very funny that Louis posted that up as a, you know, hey, can you put this into a thumbnail, please? And I was just like, can we get a photo of you looking happy? Can we get a photo where you don't look like you're bored?
It was from my Matt Seidel interview, and he also Matt looked miserable.
Yeah, it's Matt Seidel, man. He's got some stories to tell.
So tell us a bit about Wrestling Daily, Louis.
So it's a show we're very passionate about, very much looking forward to bringing you. We want it to be massively interactive. So it's going to be Tuesday to Friday, every single week at 8 p.m. UK time. And then on a special start time at 9:15, we believe, specific to be ironed out later and to let you guys know, on a Monday when there's a pay-per-view the weekend prior. So we want it to be a massively interactive show. We want your guys' thoughts, opinions. We're going to talk about the news that you guys want to talk about. A bit of an exclusive here, one of the segments that we're going to be doing on the show, it's basically we're going to review your guys' hot takes. So you can send us in some of your hot takes, some of your unpopular wrestling opinions, and we'll review them. We'll say how spicy those hot takes are, and if we need a big glass of milk on the side because they're just a little bit too hot. But yeah, we're very much looking forward to it. So subscribe over at Wrestle 2 next Tuesday of the show debut. So we'll be looking, obviously, Raw and a load of other stuff. So it's not going to be like a review show. That's your guys' bag. Although we do it better, we're not going to step on that territory. We're going to talk about the big talking points, big talking points in the news that day. And yeah, we're going to have some fun. So hopefully see you all there.
A glass of milk, or as Ollie Davis calls it, tea.
Hey, bye, Louis. And he's back. Bye, bye.
He's still here. He's always here.
But yeah, seriously, everybody, do what Louis just said. Wrestling Daily next Tuesday. Thanks, okay. Louis.
If you are one of the people who listens to this as a podcast, it'll also be available in audio podcast form every single ruddy day, mate.
Amazing. Last night's episode of WWE Monday Night Raw was the second night of the draft, the final night of the draft after a bit of a lackluster one on SmackDown. Although I feel like I'm the only guy who was quite into the New Day angle.
Oh no, I am. I like it. I'm actually kind of for Woods and Kingston being the tag team on Raw and Big E being the single star on SmackDown. I'm against how it was done, because there's literally no good kayfabe reason for sort of why it was done. Like, USA looked like absolute dunderheads because they wrote on a piece of paper, Woods and Kingston, and submitted that. And then Fox, the smart ones, were like, they didn't put Big E down. We can still get Big E because those idiots didn't put New Day. The only way this would have worked for me is if you had like a heel authority figure that split the New Day up on purpose, but we don't have authority figures. So they just sort of did it. And it didn't make a lick of sense.
Yeah, the other thing was USA Network would have chosen an act who weren't the tag team champions. It's not like you're getting the tag champs. In that very moment, they weren't. Only won the belts later that night. That's going to be a given throughout this entire review. The framework of the draft as a storytelling plot device is a complete waste of time. It makes no sense. They might as well just look at this point. They should just have here's Raw, and you just have people come out, and that's it. There's like they're stuck in this weird halfway house where Stephanie McMahon is announcing the picks in the most uninteresting way possible. Moving on.
Yeah, but you know, Adam Pearce was all there to do the really important thing going into this show, which is how are they going to handle the tag title situation? And Ollie Davis, they had the most genius way of solving this tag title problem. They just swapped them.
Yeah, if you could just give the Street Profits your belts and then you could give them your belts back.
Sorry, lads. Your belts are blue and this is a red show. And your belts are red and you're going to the blue show. So if you could just do a little swapsies, That would really make things a bit. That would really help the synergy of the colors.
It's such a good argument though, because you try arguing against it. You try arguing for a red tag team championship belt on SmackDown.
Yeah.
Try that.
I mean, hey, dude, if it was me, I'd have kept the Street Profits on Raw and just merged the tag team division together. Just have it all on one show. They don't give an F. Like, they don't care. Just merge the belts together.
I've got a hot take for later when we talk about the tag belts. Oh. I mean, I say hot take. It's a take I've been having every year since about 2016. You probably know.
Is it introduce trios, right?
I'll never tell. Right. So this, the draft night opened. The opening segment was Randy Orton. He's still feuding with Drew McIntyre. And Drew McIntyre came out after Orton was gloating about pinning Drew last week, which hasn't happened since the previous November, because pins and losses do matter. And Drew beat him up. And they brawled backstage. And I think the insinuation was that they continued to brawl for the next 3 hours.
Yeah, because we didn't see these guys for about like another two and a half hours. We didn't see these guys. But when we didn't see them 2.5 hours later, they were still brawling. So my guess is they were brawling for that entire 2.5 hours.
I don't think so. I think if they were, even in storyline, WWE would have kept cutting back to that. I think that's a really fun way to tell a story, to base an episode's narrative around. But they didn't do that. I think they separated and then they found each other at the end of the show again. But yeah, that's still happening. That kind of gives away where Randy Orton was going to end up. And would you believe it? Stephanie McMahon. Oh, I hate her entrance music. Entrance music so much. But she is, you cannot deny, Forbes's most influential female CMO.
I mean, what an accolade to have. It's pretty impressive though, right?
Like, when I was growing up as a 9, 10, 11, 12 year old wrestling fan, I used to love it when people told me their corporate bullcrap titles. That really made and lawsuit storylines always made me so invested in the product.
Yeah, I mean, I am more invested in Stephanie McMahon now because she is Forbes's most influential CMO.
What does CMO mean? I think it's. I think they're a musical group.
Chief
CMO money.
Chief marketing.
Chief marketing officer.
Yeah, that was going to be my guess because the people always said that Brandy's chief branding officer was like a Mickey take of Stephanie McMahon's marketing officer. Mm.
Well, good on her, I guess.
Dude, she created women's wrestling. Like, so she should get some kudos.
From a marketing perspective, the fact that WWE aren't hounded daily by the mainstream media for, you know, just general misogyny, the exploitation of women, the relationship with Saudi Arabia, firing people in right at the start of a pandemic. The fact that
making more money off the back of it.
The fact that no one really cares about that in the wider world. Maybe she is a genius. Anyway, she announced that the Street Profits and Bayley are going to SmackDown. Very smart. They're both champions. But Randy Orton, Charlotte Flair, who's inactive right now, and The Fiend, in what is definitely the biggest switch trade of the night, a Monday Night Raw.
Yeah, I don't know why Charlotte Flair was part of this draft. Like, other injured people aren't.
Yeah, well, that's what I was confused by as well. I thought the number one contender's Women's Battle Royal to main event this show was because we were going to get a Charlotte Flair return to win it.
Mm.
Oh, that's what I thought this was all building towards, but then Lana won it. Oh, no. You've got the wrong blonde person. What a mistake.
I loved that brand invitational battle royal. I was like, you've literally just spent this whole like two episodes being like the brand split matters and you can't be on the same brand. And so they just then presented a situation where someone from SmackDown could challenge for Raw Women's title. Like, what was the point?
Yeah. But I was very excited by Bray Wyatt. You know, we haven't got to review Bray Wyatt week to week. And I think he's just an incredible creative force. I love the Fiend gimmick. I love the Firefly Funhouse gimmick. I think this opens up a load of new feuds for him, like Braun Strowman. So I'm really, really excited to see him on Monday night.
I know you're being snarky there, but like, I think with particularly with Alexa Bliss in tow, like I'm really stoked for this feud, like for this gimmick and what they could do with this. I think there's some fresh faces. Yep, there are some faces that we've seen before. Like, I hope he doesn't feud with Braun Strowman. But I think there is some real, real opportunity here. And I'm actually more stoked for him on Raw going up against Drew than I am with him feuding against Roman Reigns.
Yes, I agree. We've seen Bray Roman. It's weird. Like, it's the match they wanted to do forever, but they made Goldberg beat him and then pandemic. But here's a bit of fantasy booking. Drew loses to Randy. Randy feuds with the Fiend.
Ah, like the Viper in the Family stuff.
I think there's a lot of unfinished business. Orton and the Fiend. It's one of the biggest things that he hasn't got to make up for yet.
I think you can do that without beating Drew McIntyre, and you can do it so it's not over the title.
Maybe. The Fiend shouldn't care about the title. You're totally right. So after that, we got Aleister Black versus Kevin Owens. And you know how these shows are structured. I was like, oh, okay, the Fiend was just announced. He's going to interfere in this match because he's been feuding with Kevin Owens across the brands for the last couple of weeks. But no, Aleister Black and Kevin Owens just had a really fun match, hardcore Great. Stuff. They laid out four chairs, done up steel chairs in that sort of, you know, so it creates a kind of weird, hideous table. And Aleister Black hit the sort of meteora double knees on Kevin Owens through those chairs. That's got to suck for everybody. Brutal. Aleister Black tried a black mass, hit the ring post, which was really cool. And Kevin Owens hit a stunner and then powerbombed him to win. So really fun match. But, you know, ultimately, Aleister Black has lost every encounter they've had out of the three. And I thought, okay, he'll move to SmackDown or Kevin Owens will move to SmackDown. But no, they were both drafted to SmackDown.
I was stunned by this. I, like you, I thought, okay, that's a definitive end to this feud now. The good guy has won. He prevailed. They can both move on and move on to different brands. And then they both just got drafted to the same show afterwards.
Yeah, it's a bit of a waste. So after that, we got the news that Kevin Owens was going across to SmackDown, Daniel Bryan staying on SmackDown. And for Raw, we got Braun Strowman, Jeff Hardy, and Matt Riddle for the second round. So those are all pretty, pretty big names.
I'm not asked about names. Braun. Yeah, controversial. Yes, certainly. Not asked about Braun. Really not. This year's done absolutely nothing for him. Actually, I think that Universal Championship run actually hurt him more than anything. But, you know, I, controversies aside, I think there's a lot of upside to Matt Riddle. And I'm a white guy in my 30s. I love Jeff Hardy. Like, it's a fact of life. So, and I'd love to see Jeff have, like, that one more run, like that one more shot against Drew McIntyre for the title.
Well, if Randy wins, we can reignite that feud again. But they've got other plans. We'll come on to those later. Then we got, so, Miz and Morrison were drafted over. They're on Raw. And we got a Miz TV segment, which was...
I'm already sick of them. They've been on Raw for 30 seconds, and I already don't want them on the show. I hate their act. I find it so annoying.
Yeah, it's not good heel heat. It is the go-away version of heel heat. And to make things worse, they had the most... And I know artificial could be construed in a different way here, but I mean it in just sort of artificial friendship... of Dana Brooke and Mandy Rose coming out. It was the fakest tag team partnering. They've been okay-ish the last couple of weeks. They've been tagging on Raw, but dear God, Mandy looked like she wanted to be anywhere else than with Dana Brooke.
I'm going to ask a question as well. I mean, there's going to be no answer to this because it is draft logic questions, but why was Mandy Rose up for the draft? She'd already been drafted to Raw. And so had Dana Brooke. They didn't need to be picks. They'd already been drafted. Also, why didn't USA draft them as a tag team when they are a tag team? They drafted them separately. That's a waste of picks.
Yeah, there are no answers. But we got some really unconvincing acting from Rose and Brooke. Rose in particular, I thought was really rubbish here. And it doesn't help that she's got crap material. Like, oh, God, go man. Out there and she's meant to be annoyed about being split up from Otis and not being on the same brand. But it was just one line. It was just one lip service line. This was rubbish from top to bottom. Then Natalia and Lana came out and they all had a scuffle and they fought off. And then Lars Sullivan came out and beat up Miz and Morrison. Well, beat up Morrison, Miz ran off out of fright.
Yeah. And then Lars got drafted to a different brand to those two lads. The one thing I would say about Lana coming out is she confirmed that Liv Morgan is a former girlfriend of hers. She's an ex-girlfriend. Because do you remember, like, they did that storyline at the start of the year where she was like, we're ex-lovers. Then they dropped it, and all of a sudden there was this big swell of people saying, like, they never said they were lovers. You just insinuated that they were. Well, here you go. Lana said they were lovers. They were actual girlfriends together. So that was the only thing that I took away from this segment, apart from the fact it was also pretty rubbish.
Well done, LGBT progression. That's, you know, it's all for the larger social cause there. Wow. Chief Marketing Officer.
They were traded, not drafted. For who? Who were they traded for?
Come on, AJ Tripp. Don't
come on.
Don't get, if you want to get tangled up in semantics, you will choke yourself. There's no logic here. There's no rules. Then we got the segment where Adam Pearce told the New Day and the Street Profits to swap the tag titles. Just good luck tracking the lineage now.
What prestigious belts that they are, that you could just swap them for the same belt but a different color, and it means exact. What a load of nonsense.
Round three trades or drafts, help us out, AJ. Got Lars Sullivan and King Corbin to SmackDown, while Raw got Keith Lee, Alexa Bliss. Alexa, stop. That's going to be annoying now that she's on Raw and I have to review that every week. And Retribution without Mercedes Martinez.
Yeah. Good picks for Raw there, with the exception of, you know, Retribution, because it makes no sense. But I think it's better than Corbin and Lars Sullivan. So good round there for Raw.
Then we got what was probably my favorite match of the night. Definitely match of the night. Seth Rollins came out to sort of give a farewell to the brand. It's a farewell to the brand, but it's not really a farewell to the feud or storyline he's in right now, because that whole storyline was one draft over the SmackDown with the Mysterios and Buddy Murphy. So he came out, and then Jeff Hardy came out, sort of did his Jeff Hardy stuff. Seth said, well, you're not going to be the locker room leader. Look at you, you're controversial. Then AJ Styles came out and sort of made a jab that Seth should just go away. And we've got a three-way between them.
I actually really liked that interaction, because Seth is like walking up the ramp and AJ Styles comes out. And because they're both heels, they were like, ha ha, heel, yucking it up. We're both heels. What friends we are. And then AJ like makes this jab at him, and Seth runs stops and goes, huh? And just like storms back after and be like, what did you say about? I thought it was actually really, really cool. I really enjoyed their interaction together. And then, yeah, Jeff laid both of them out to leave into this tag team triple threat match, which only had three people in it.
Bless him. Hey, it's always the noughties when Jeff Hardy's around. And you damn right he's going to have a triple threat tag match. Yeah, this was really good. I totally agree. The Seth AJ interaction, the whole match was really, really good. And yeah. I said in my review, almost bittersweet. I love Seth Rollins. I think he's got a great gimmick right now. I know a lot of people don't like it. I love it. But he's been in the same storyline for 3 months. And the rest? Yeah.
Is that in May?
And it's massively outstayed its welcome. And seeing him here, wrestle other people, wrestling AJ Styles, wrestling Jeff Hardy. I was like, oh my God. Stay here, Seth. Don't go to SmackDown.
Yeah, I mean, I completely agree with you. That, but like, and Seth Rollins has always been on Raw, if I'm not mistaken. Like, I don't feel like he's ever really been part of the SmackDown roster. He's always felt like a Raw guy.
Yeah, you're right.
So it really did feel like this was a farewell from the Monday Night Messiah. And you're right, like, quite bittersweet. And I really enjoyed this match. Really enjoyed watching Seth work with these two guys. But I'm so excited for AJ to be back on Raw after his small hiatus to SmackDown. Little camping trip that he had over there while Paulie was around. Then Paulie's gone. So I kind of enjoy that. And, you know, I think that AJ Styles is a tailor-made new contender to Drew McIntyre for the WWE title. Like, he can just walk right into that once you finish with Orton at Hell in the Cell.
Yeah, that's a good point. There's a lot of people I want to now see go for Drew's title that aren't Randy Orton. Whereas before, you're like, ugh, it's kind of only Orton who makes sense out of all these people from a main event perspective. The finish of the match was AJ was almost beat by Jeff Hardy's Twist of Fate, but who should return? Elias smashing a guitar over Jeff's back. Kind of picking up on that story where Jeff drunk drove hit and run Elias from SmackDown a few months ago. And that's that.
I mean, you said they kind of picked up on it. They are literally picking it up because he has that promo with Mean Charlie later on where he says, I haven't forgiven him for hitting me with a car. So we're returning to that storyline. Everyone thought it was dropped, but no, it was just on a little break and now it's back.
I haven't forgiven him for that thing that was proven not to be him. But heels' minds work in mysterious ways. Unsurprisingly, we got the Raw picks for Elias next. Lacey Evans and Sheamus. I love Sheamus.
New hat.
But then Cesaro, Shinsuke Nakamura, and Intercontinental Champion Sami Zayn in the fourth round.
How low down is the Intercontinental champ? Like, surely he'd have been picked much higher. The Intercontinental champion.
The crazy thing is, he's not just the Intercontinental champion. He's also the Intercontinental champion. The guy's got two belts. in the graphic, you could barely see his face because he had these two Intercontinental championship belts on it.
Yeah, it's nuts that him and Nakamura and Cesaro, the Artist Collective, the artist formerly known as the Artist Collective, were so low down in the draft picks.
Yeah, that was sort of the further on the drafts pick rounds go, the more just ridiculous they get.
I mean, I've written my notes here, and I apologize for this. The more this went, the more it became like your draft picks in our mock draft that we did last Wednesday.
Strong start.
A very strong start. And then you're like, Mickey James.
Hey. I think she came in at the same time. Oh, no, Mickey James wasn't. Was she?
She wasn't drafted.
Okay.
She is also in the unemployment line.
Outrageous. So after that, we got Dana Brooke and Mandy Rose taking on Natalyana.
It's the third time in 3 weeks we've had these lot wrestle. Third time in 3 weeks. And the third time in 3 weeks that the good guys have won.
Brooke fell with style off of Mandy Rose's shoulders to hit a swanton to win. There's just nothing about this feels real. It's just the worst bits of fake wrestling. And afterwards, Natalya seemingly broke up with Lana.
Yeah. They broke up. She literally broke up with her. She was just like, I'm not doing this anymore. And she walked off because WWE are in the process of splitting up all of their teams. What one more team to split up?
I said seemingly because how many times did Angel Garza, Zelina Vega or Andrade also say, I'm not doing this anymore, walk off and be back together next week?
Yeah, absolutely right. Apparently, Mickie James was drafted to SmackDown.
I think that was after the show.
WWE.com may have made that announcement. Yeah.
So speaking of, we got Angel Garza versus Andrade next. Shortly before that, we got a backstage bit with Cedric Alexander being challenged by Ricochet. If Ricochet loses the match, he has to join the Hurt Business.
But more importantly, if he wins, they will never feud again.
Leave that when I see it. Garza took on Andrade in just what was an incredibly depressing affair. Garza got beaten up for 2 minutes, and Andrade then lost to the Wing Clippers. Zelina Vega was on commentary.
Can I give you a direct quote from Tom Phillips on commentary? I'm sensing a theme here of dissolving tag teams. Yes, you are, Tom. That is WWE's mandate at the moment. So sad that Vega was out there for commentary. I thought she was done with this act. Like, that was her whole deal, wasn't it? I'm now a singles guy. I'm not associated with them. And they also had said, we're not associated with you. And then through the match, we're doing moves to impress Zelina Vega. And then afterwards, when Angel Garza won, Zelina Vega dove into the ring to console Andrade. And really, the only reason she did that was so we could have The Fiend and Alexa Bliss attack them and do the dual Sister Abigails, which was cool, a cool moment. But like I said last week, WWE only do moments. They don't do storylines. And this Garza, Andrade, and Vega storyline is absolute bobbins, saved by a cool moment with The Fiend and Alexa Bliss.
Vega has been drafted to SmackDown in those online announced picks as well. So if anyone's getting excited, like, oh, this is the start of a storyline, you're wrong. It's not. It was just a moment, like Luke said. But yes, a very cool moment. The round five picks saw Nikki Cross, R-Truth,
and, oh, damn it,
and my brother's favorite wrestler, Dabba Kato. According to Stephanie McMahon, the Raw Underground big guy, and Apollo Crews and Bobby Roode and Dolph Ziggler were all drafted to SmackDown. Ziggler and Roode had only just sort of jumped over to Raw, but at least Apollo Crews being over there means no more Hurt Business feuding.
But Apollo Crews, I actually forgot about this. He was a SmackDown guy at the start of the year. He only got drafted to Raw after WrestleMania. He was like drafted in May or something.
You know what? Maybe that's why no one really cares about the draft.
Yeah, could be. I'm a bit worried for Apollo Crews. Like, I felt like he had a really good Raw surgeance while on Raw. You know, he actually got onto pay-per-view. He got a mid-card title. He was, in a never-ending feud with the Hurt Business, but he was getting TV time. Can't see the same thing happening on SmackDown unless he goes into a feud with Sami Zayn for the IC belt. I fear he's going to end up like Shorty G and just like, you know, in never-ending feuds with Baron Corbin.
Tag team.
I mean, the lower tag team.
Speaking of, we got Ziggler and Roode taking on New Day next. This was a fun match. I'm really excited to see New Day on the show that we mostly review again. Byron Saxton commentating on New Day matches just feels right. He's really good at it. And really good stuff from all four men. You know, Ziggler and Roode are a tired act, unfortunately, but they're no slouches in the ring. And it built to a Woods hot tag. Great to see him back as well. And New Day retain with Kofi getting the pin.
Yeah. Decent match. It means very little because WWE aren't interested in the tag team division. I don't know who Street Profits are going to SmackDown. I don't know who they're going to feud with on SmackDown because it is just Roode and Ziggler and Cesaro and Nakamura are pretty much the only teams that are there. New Day have got a few more tag teams. Lucha House Party got drafted without Kalisto. So there's a team that they can feud with. And there's also, who else could they feud with?
Retribution.
I mean, actually, there's some pretty good teams for New Day to be able to feud with. It's just WWE don't care about the tag division.
Which is why fantasy booking time. This is what Ollie would have done. Ollie would have booked it better because I'm a smart ass. I would have had both tag champs drafted to SmackDown, let's say. Mm-hmm. And then you're like, oh my God, what an unpredictable thing. How will they get out of this? You have a whole like month-long tournament at Survivor, like concluding at Survivor Series to crown the undisputed tag championships there. And on Raw, you're like, oh my God, what should we do? Trios championships, six mans.
Dude, they haven't got enough tag teams, let alone trios teams.
Well, in this version, they would book it better, of course. Caruso then spoke to Elias backstage. That's when Elias says that he's going to get Jeff for running him over. Then we got the Cedric Alexander versus Ricochet match with a bit of retribution preamble in a recap package, but no actual involvement. This was good. This was a good bit, but it had a bit of a lame finish, I thought.
Oh, I like the finish. I thought the finish was fun. You know, Eddie's birthday was quite recent. I think it was over the weekend, in fact. I thought this was a nice little moment. It's the Eddie Guerrero spot where the babyface grabs the chair, bangs it on the floor when the referee's back is turned, throws the chair to the heel, then takes a bump so that when the referee turns around, it looks like the heel has hit the babyface and therefore calls for the DQ. I thought it was pretty fun. I enjoyed it.
I just don't get how that fits with Ricochet's character.
But you know what, Davis? It was a cool moment.
We got Keith Lee versus Braun Strowman being announced for next week's season premiere. It's that time of the year again. The season premiere time.
In a sanctioned match. This one will count towards their win-loss record.
No, it won't, Luke. Because there's not going to be a finish. This match won't have a finish.
Absolutely,
I'll put a bet on it. I'll put a bet.
Oh, mate. Dude, he's facing Roman Reigns this coming Friday. That's not going to finish either. There's absolutely no way that match has got to finish.
Then we got round 6, which was the final round of picks announced on TV, at least. Titus O'Neil, Peyton Royce, and Akira Tozawa to Raw. What
terrible round for Raw there.
And Carmella and Aleister Black to SmackDown.
Good crikey. How low was Aleister Black on this list? He was below Titus O'Neil. He was below he was basically below Akira Tozawa. What is going on there?
I don't know. I read the report. Vince was high on him. That's what they said, Luke. The internet told me Vince was high on Tommy End, the guy behind the Aleister Black gimmick. He just needed a little tweak. Just needed to be written off.
He was also high on Zelina Vega, and she got drafted on Raw Talk to SmackDown.
So in a post-Zelina Vega-Asuka world, how will we cope without that feud continuing? We got the Women's Battle Royal to determine the next number one contender for Asuka's belt. It was pretty fun, actually. I enjoyed this as a match. I just thought it wasn't really main event worthy, which is why I assume Charlotte Flair was going to return. They did the Nia Jax, Shayna Baszler stuff, where they just stood in the middle of the ring and waited for everyone to attack them. That was really good. Nia and Tamina had their compulsory spot together. Jax was booked very strongly. Everyone gangs up on Nia again. Then Shayna helps out, tipping her tag partner over the top rope. You know I hate that spot. Nia, in frustration, puts Lana through a table. And then, you know, there's some more spots. Drew and Randy are now shown fighting backstage. Baszler's dumped out by Bianca Belair quite unceremoniously. Maybe there's a feud there. Then Belair's just dumped out by the Riot Squad. And it comes down to Natalya and Lacey all of a sudden. Asuka was on commentary. Now she's backstage watching a screen.
That was weird. Also, just to your point there, they can have a feud between Belair and Baszler because they're on different brands.
Right.
No, they're on the same brands. No, Baszler's on Raw. Sorry. Belair's on SmackDown.
I don't know. Oh, yeah, because she followed the Street Profits across. And Lacey and Natalya actually had a really good battle on the apron, I thought. They timed the sort of, nearly just touching the floor spots really, really well. Natalya wins, but the bell doesn't ring. And Lana appears to push her off the apron. Oh, my God. They worked us. I forgot about Lana. It was a genuine surprise. So I was like, that was good. I didn't see that coming. But then immediately after, all of the thoughts of, oh my God, I don't want to see her feud with Asuka rushed into my head. Ugh.
But it's fine because they distracted you by having the real main event of Drew and Orton brawling around ringside and officials separating them. It really felt like that completely undermined this whole battle royal. Like cutting to them backstage, Asuka being out there for commentary for a bit and then going backstage so she can watch. And then like once Lana wins, they immediately cut to Drew and Orton brawling. And then like they just disappeared. The girls just disappeared. Totally undermined them being the main event. Although it was actually really poor form. And like when it came down to Natty and Lacey, I was like, good Lord, what a terrible final two. How in the hell did this happen? It's because they worked me, brother. And I was actually pretty chuffed that they worked me, because I thought there's no way they're doing Natty Asuka. And I was wrong. And I was, you know, right, they're not. They're doing Lana Asuka instead.
So Dave Meltzer is saying that this is quite clearly just sort of a work, because everyone's been like, oh, isn't it weird how Miro Rusev turns up on AEW and sort of buries WWE a bit, and then in the ensuing weeks, Lana is put through a table by Nia Jax every episode. And that happened again here. LOL, they're burying Lana. And then he said WWE's mentality, I don't know if he was reporting this or just looking at the situation, is to go, haha, you were wrong. Mm-hmm. We swerved you. I'm swerving you.
But like, it's not going to be a long feud, because they're only having a match next week. I think we'll then find out who Asuka's real Hell in a Cell contender will be, because I don't think it's going to be Lana.
Hmm. Well, overall, I thought this was a pretty poor show, although I'm excited by Raw's roster, and that's the show we review. So maybe I was a bit more forgiving than usual. It could have easily been a 1 out of 5 show, but I gave it 2.
I think 2 is fair, because I thought the in-ring action for the most part was really, really solid. I loved the triple threat match, really enjoyed Owens Black as well. And the Battle Royal was a lot of fun. Mm. So I thought it was a really, really solid show. And yeah, I'm kind of really excited for the future of Raw, because I think the one thing that this brand has missed throughout 2020, but certainly since post-WrestleMania, it has been missing top-level talent, because they had Drew, they had Seth, and they had Randy. And that was it. And they ran through Seth very quickly. They tried to elevate Bobby and then just moved him straight back down to the mid-card. And then have only been left with Randy Orton, which is why we've had like a 5-month feud with Randy Orton. So now we have got more top-level talent for Drew to face. We've got a much more interesting upper mid-card and main event scene. So I'm really looking forward to the future of Raw. Plus, Miz is on the show now, which actively means it's going to be the better show from now on, even though I think he's terrible.
Right, let's get in with all your super chats. Jalon McKenzie, I'm done watching Raw until the Hurt Business holds all the belts. And Stephen Larson said they should challenge us for the tag belts. You scared, Mr. Davis.
We already beat them.
Maybe not on one-on-one, but well, there's a future match there potentially. Charlie Davis, I revisited some NXT Aleister Black matches this weekend, and I cannot believe what's happened to him. Focusing on happier times, do you have any favorite Aleister Black moments from NXT?
Weekly I know, because I bury them a lot and I hate the format. His weekly squash matches were something to look forward to. If they announced like Aleister Black's in action next week, I'll be like, oh man, I can't wait till next week's NXT to watch him kick some little dude's face off. It's going to be brilliant.
Aleister Black Velveteen Dream, I thought that was an expertly crafted feud. Caleb.
Fun fact for you, Aleister Black has been on the main roster for 20 months now.
Caleb. With Aleister Black being a fourth-round pick behind Titus and losing to Kevin Owens clean again, do you think all hope may be lost for Black and a title run?
No, because Vince McMahon is high on him backstage.
Unfortunately, yes. All hope is lost. It's just better to make peace with that now. Jose Quinde, if Drew and Orton were fighting all night, did they have the greatest wrestling match never seen? Also, to me, the lack of tag teams was shown in the draft.
Oh, I mean, Jose Quinde, I'm going to say that it wasn't, because we've seen Randy Orton have a backstage brawl for 2.5 hours at WrestleMania, and it was not the greatest match I've ever seen.
Shardul Shanga. So Street Profits are Triple Crown champions now. NXT, Raw and SmackDown. Are they now 2-time main roster champs now? Ah, my brain hurts.
No, you absolutely nailed it. They're Triple Crown champions.
Congratulations, well, Montez done. And Angelo. Gorilla Press, AJ had to quarantine after his son's football game.
Well, he was there on the show.
I haven't seen anything about that. Zachary Jenkins, I need New Day versus Street Profits. Montez Ford versus Jody would be awesome.
I think that was probably meant to be Cody. Kofi,
yeah, I was trying to...
but yeah, New Day versus Street Profits would have been rad.
Hmm. Alpaca Nation 87. Hope you're ready for months of MVP trying to recruit Woods and Kingston to the Hurt Business.
Oh, dear. Alpaca Nation, don't do this to me.
Well, they're all businessmen.
Yes.
Gian, Titus better than Andrade and Alistair based on the draft.
Titus proper felt like, basically, like when me and Ollie did our draft picks last week and we got to the final round, and we both admitted, we're in our panicky picks now because all of the names we wanted have been taken. This felt like one of those picks where I was just like, Titus, we'll pick Titus. Oh, damn it, we said Titus.
Magico 438, in before WWE uses brand invitationals, 1 week after season premieres on each brand, what are the rules? What are the rules?
Yeah, I quarterly invitationals.
Adam Ulrich, when Natty and Lacey were on the apron, I actually expected Fiend's music and lights to hit. Ah, that's a great idea. Bliss pops in the ring and shoves them both off to win.
I absolutely love that. The only problem is you don't want to have Alexa Bliss lose, you know, next week on Raw. So I can see why you wouldn't do that, but I think that would have been fantastic.
Caleb Maldonado. So triple threat soon between Andrade, Kevin Owens, and The Fiend, potentially for the title opportunity.
Andrade's not on SmackDown. Fiend's on Raw. Kevin Owens is on SmackDown. I think Kevin Owens is going to go into a feud with Sami Zayn.
Potentially. I don't know where you got that match happening, Caleb. I don't think that's going to happen at all. Miguel 8A, can either of you explain to me how Randy gets yet another title shot after losing to Drew? I don't want to see another match with Randy Orton.
I can. He attacked Legends and Drew got mad and gave him a match.
Ross Bland, Fiend versus Brother Nero, creativity, right?
Creativity. You said yes. It right. Yeah. Fiend versus Jeff Hardy. Absolutely, Ross Bland. Absolutely, I'm well in for that.
Over to you, Hot Tag.
Will do. Michael Dominguez. Bo Dallas joins the Fiend like a Manson family. Could be great. Guys, I think we've got to stop fantasy booking that Bo Dallas is going to join the Fiend's group. Like, we've been fantasy booking Bo Dallas joining the Wyatt family since the Wyatt family came into existence. Alan Monzoon. Oh, having said that, you know, people were fantasy booking Sister Abigail, and now we've got it. So maybe it will happen. Alan Monzoon, with the number of injuries NXT has recently, do you see Andrade or anyone else going from Raw or SmackDown going to NXT? Hashtag get rowdy. Hashtag yes, please. I can 100% see Andrade going to NXT. Yeah.
Yeah. I think that's a great move as well.
Yeah. Absolutely. Be the best thing for him. Jediah Steele. It's a total shame Black is a jobber at this point. Saudi hates him for his tattoos. That has to be it. LOL. I wouldn't say he's a jobber. I think that's a bit harsh.
There's no Saudi shows for the foreseeable future. So I don't think that has anything to do with it right now.
Nicholas Belgraf says, tell everyone to stop being so negative. It's called Wrestle Talk, not Wrestle With My Opinion. Especially Pete. SmackDown podcast is awful to listen to.
Well, those are our opinions. We're Wrestle Talking about our opinions. So yeah, it is kind of Wrestle With My Opinions.
Khalib says, all hail, Mr. Davis. Keep up the amazing content.
No, thank you.
Gorilla Press, get your hashtag FTF t-shirt on WrestleTalkMerch.com. You should get a whole load of stuff on WrestleTalkMerch.com. The Hitchhiker, Mike and Nav, never catch these lives. So I just want to pop in and say hello to the lads and give a little support. Good luck against the good brothers.
We're not going to need it. What you're looking at right now is the professional brothers. We hate each other, but us working together is better than a tag team.
It really is. Two guys thrown together will always outmatch a tag team with years of experience. It always happens. Gorilla Press, this is not over. We will meet Oliver. He is risen. He also says, we will be flying to film a feature-length documentary on Thunder Rosa and her company, Mission Pro Wrestling, in November, sponsoring her December 11th iPay-per-view event, Run It Back, on Title Match Wrestling.
Cool.
Michael Dominguez, I met the Fox robot. Fox runs his football TV shows and I host pep rallies. We co-hosted a rally last year. ETA, back to your studio, title of the amount of pay-per-view.
We don't know. I prepared everything to go back to the studio last month, but then the government changed all their advice again. So they've just given a 6-month sort of time frame. So not until next WrestleMania, I don't think. But cool about the Fox robot.
That is cool. Yeah, I think we are looking at a future where we're going to be doing this year's Christmas show virtually, which is a big shame. Caleb, thank you for your donation. Jørgen Slaugard, I think that's Collins something backwards. What would the WWE draft beer be called?
Ball
disappointment.
Sack. Yeah. I know Ball Sack's the retribution guy. Sorry.
John Morant, 1993. Dijak played Among Us over the weekend. His username was T-Bag. Amazing. Alvin Martinez, which were your favorite picks? AJ Styles to Raw for me.
Fiend to Raw.
I think that's an excellent pick. Anthony, for you, I mean. Anthony Emlering says, between The Fiend and Retribution, Raw is going to have blackouts galore. WWE trying to save money again.
Yeah, didn't think of that. Maybe they could become a faction.
Oh, no. Oh, The Fiend is revealed as the real leader of Retribution. Retrofiendtion. Oh. Charlie Davis, all of this WWE booking just makes me happy that Kenny Omega and the Elite decided that they didn't care about going to WWE ever.
Well, they were going to have creative control reportedly written into their contracts, but I can't see how that would have ever worked.
Nope. Gorilla Press working on having Masha Slamovich come home to the States for a Mission Pro match. Nate S, I'll never say how could they possibly screw up again. Aleister Black, Andrade, Fiend, Ricochet, Asuka, the list goes on. This company.
I think we can add Keith Lee as well. How do you not have plans for Keith Lee?
I feel like they did have plans at one point. Caleb Maldonado clarifies he was the one who had the triple threats thing about Fiend Andrade. He said, I forgot about the draft.
Don't worry, so will WWE in a few weeks.
GN said, who's the biggest miss on the undrafted pool for both of you? Well, everyone's been drafted now, with the exception of Andrade, who, you know, is the biggest name. I think Shorty G is a total missed opportunity, but particularly him going back to NXT, which is what I really would have liked to have seen.
Who else was not on there? Yeah, because obviously Andrade is most definitely
Mojo, Bone. Oh, no, Mickey got drafted to SmackDown. I think those are the only ones. Like Becky obviously wasn't part of the... Another was Big Show, John Cena, Edge, that kind of lot.
Yeah, it's got to be Andrade.
And finally, Sam Leach. I haven't watched wrestling since lockdown began. Can you catch me up in 60 seconds? Love you guys. Good to be back after 6 months. Much love from Southend.
Should we go back and forth? Drew McIntyre's the champion. He's really good.
Her Business feuded with Apollo Crews for 7 months.
Seth Rollins and Rey Mysterio were doing the same and they still are.
Roman Reigns is back and he is a heel and Paul Heyman is his manager. He's the Blue Universal Champion.
Seth Rollins ripped out Rey Mysterio's eyeball in kayfabe.
The New Day are broken up.
AEW's much better.
What else has happened? Charlotte was on all three brands for a bit and then she went away.
That's it. That's all you need. And finally,
oh, Becky's not around.
Nate S, you guys are like Kenny and Hangman. Two guys in a tag team. Which one of you is the drunk?
I had a couple of beers last night, so... when was the last time you had a drink?
I had a couple of beers this morning. But that's all we've got.
Oh, Mr. Davis.
Oh.
Count them. 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, 8.
Yes. Lay them on
9.
Me.
9. Misheard lyric emails.
And that's that. I've been getting private messages on our Discord server with a few as well. I'll do this one from Nate, who is one of our brilliant website writers. Okay, so the song Thank You Next. You know, the Ariana Grande song, right?
Never heard it.
Is that her?
I've no idea, mate.
Let me get my Here we go. This is what it sounds like, folks at home. Can you hear that?
Mm-hmm.
Let's skip to the chorus. Right. So it was a garbled bit in there. Nate's wife thinks that Ariana Grande here is singing Bacon Eggs. So listen, you can kind of hear it. You know what? That's nothing like Bacon Eggs.
That's absolutely nothing like Bacon Eggs. Is that maybe a little bit, but like, no.
What have you got? I said I'd leave them out to him.
And that's why you're such a good boss. Could you load up for me Smoke Two Joints by Sublime, please?
Smoke Two Joints. When One Isn't Enough. I'm not familiar with this song. Are you?
I am indeed. This comes in from Jordan, who says, wanted to write a little bit about the misheard lyrics discussion. A few years ago, a local radio station was discussing this very same topic and taking callers who have their own misheard lyrics. Although I didn't believe this particular caller, one person brought up Smoke Two Joints by Sublime. They thought the lyric was Spoke to Joyce. As stupid as it sounds.
Oh, that's a much less subversive song chorus.
As stupid as it sounds, it works with almost every line.
So, well, that's handy for us, because then we can just play any part of it. I see this song was released in 1992, so I'm guessing you own four copies of it.
I think I probably did hear this a lot during my teenage years, yes.
All right, let's give this a spin.
She was living in a single room with three other individuals.
None of this sounds like Joyce.
Nope. Skipping forward. Yep.
So someone is that they're smoking. Mm-hmm. How long is this intro?
Hey, I spoke to Joyce in the afternoon and she made me feel all right.
It's just when you're a bit stressed, go speak to Joyce. It's great to share a problem. Especially with Joyce, she's a great listener.
Absolutely. Also, if you could go into the support inbox, There's a throwback to an old discussion. He's got a dog named Oliver, and he's got pictures attached that you may want to see. Also says, as another throwback to another old discussion topic, my wife finally saw a video with Ollie in it after months of just the WrestleTalk podcast. She was put off that Ollie did not match his voice. It's still unsettling to her.
Ah, nobody matches their voice if you've only heard them in audio ways. So what was that person's name? So I can search.
So Jordan Philip is the email. It just says Jordan from Nana Amio.
Okay.
Loyal pod factor.
It's a cute dog. I'm not really a dog guy, but it looks more like a Pokemon. So I'm in.
Okay. Oh, right. We'll do one more here. This comes in from Paul, who says, not sure if this is the right email. It wasn't. I forwarded it to the correct one. Now, support@wrestletalk.com. Send us an email. Here's my addition to Mr. Davis's misheard song lyric feature. Gala's classic-ish Freed from Desire contains the lyric of, my lover's got no money, he's got his strong beliefs, as the opening line. It took me over 10 years to realize it's not, my lover's got no money, he's got his trampoline.
What? Why would you just assume that was the lyric? 10 years he thought that.
He writes here, he took it in a row with his previous girlfriend. It took a row with my previous girlfriend to correct me. I was originally convinced the chorus was freed from desire, mind and sense and purified. Was said Annie Lennox purified.
What?
Freed from desire, Annie Lennox purified.
Like they're paying homage.
Yeah, and to purifying Annie Lennox.
And Annie Lennox.
Mm-hmm.
Wow. Okay, well, let's take this to Gala herself.
What a tune.
I am immediately transported back to, when did this come out? 2007? Surely not.
No, what? Surely not.
I think this is a, that can't be the case, because I remember having to fall asleep at Scout Hut parties that my mum and dad would take me to.
Yeah, absolutely. Released in 1996. So
he's got his trombeliefs. Nothing like trampoline.
Yeah, he's got his strong beliefs, but it's not. He's got his trampoline. And if you want to get to the chorus of the Freed from Desire.
Well,
you need to go back a bit, yeah.
Nothing like Annie Lennox.
No, sorry about that one, Paul. That's on you, mate.
There's a mind. It's a mind. It's not a Manny. Annie Lennox.
Still, thank you all so much for your emails. We'll get to the rest of those on the AEW podcast when we'll have a bit more time. I didn't even get to ask you how your time was in York. Was it good?
It was great. Do you want my lasting image from York, which is a lovely city? They vomit on the pavement a lot. I have never been anywhere with so much vomit in the inner city pavement.
Oh, mate, you should have hung out with me at university in Portsmouth, because you'd have seen it all the time. Right, Vol, that is, if you're from York, get in touch. Let us know. Why is there so much vomit on your streets, York?
What are you doing, Tom?
We're in the middle of a pandemic, guys. Stop throwing up on the pavement, spreading stuff around.
Oh, I hope that's not why. I hope they haven't got a special strain. It makes you allergic to beautiful historic city centres.
That is all we've got time for on this edition of the podcast. Thank you so, so much for listening. We will be back on Thursday with the AEW review. Take care, everyone. I love you. Goodbye.
Hi, I'm Daniel, founder of Pretty Litter. Did you know cats tend to hide symptoms of sickness and pain? I learned this the hard way after losing my cat, Gingy. So I created Pretty Litter, a health monitoring litter that helps detect early signs of illness by changing colors, saving you money and potentially your cat's life. Pretty Litter is veterinarian developed, and it's the easiest way to keep tabs on your fur baby's health right at home.
Go to prettylitter.com and use code ACAST for 20% off your first order and a free cat toy. Terms and conditions apply. See site for details.
Tired of ads intruding into your favorite comedy podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Dive into a world of laughs by downloading the Amazon Music app for free, or go to amazon.com/comedyadfree. That's amazon.com/comedyadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
Hey, it's Paige DeSorbo from Giggly Squad. High quality fashion without the price tag. Say hello to Quince. I'm snagging high-end essentials like cozy cashmere sweaters, sleek leather jackets, fine jewelry, and so much more. With Quince being 50 to 80% less than similar brands. And they partner with factories that prioritize safe, ethical, and responsible manufacturing. I love that. Luxury quality within reach. Go to quince.com/style to get free shipping and 365-day returns on your next order. Quince.com/style.